Good morning, everyone. Time to begin our worship service today. Good to have our visitors with us. We'll start with an old song, number 31, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Amen. Number 34. I was saved by grace.
Thank you. Thankful for them, and we're just praying that the Lord will come in and bless this service today. That song, many of us can, I guess, use it as part of our testimony. If you was privileged to get saved at a young age, and when your mother was around you at that time, that is something that you can resonate with. You can just take it in and say, yeah, I remember that. I can think back, and I don't know where my mother was at that time. Only thing I can say is, at that moment in time, I really wasn't worried about mother. That's the best way to put it. I was thinking about my soul getting saved, but she was close by. Now, she was probably the first one, I guess you could say, in a sense, that I told, but the fact of the matter was, I'd say she was very close by, but not right there beside me when it was going on. But it is a good practice to use that stuff along, especially with the holidays. I know you're gathering with different friends, workers, and such as that. I think it's a good thing for us to keep in mind always. Want to remember each and every one in our prayers today. I do want to make a quick announcement. We are having service tonight. We will be having a visiting preacher tonight, Robert Dillingham. For some reason or other, I can't ever keep his name in my head. But he is going to be preaching for us tonight. He's from up at Beckwith Missionary Baptist Church up in Mount Juliet area. So do remember him in your prayers tonight. Other thing, I want to go ahead and announce this too, because you may have not noticed, we've got a box there on the table there in the foyer. And what we're doing, we always sponsor a family each year. You'll see this in your bulletin there, but we always choose a family to help. Now, Brother Nathan Wrighthouse is Sister Helen. They're not here today, but usually are. But it's her son, and her and Brother John's son. And he's got cancer. He's been dealing with it for a long time, and they have a need. So if you want to help out as a church, remember that box out there, and we'll get that to that family is what we're going to do. We'll talk about it more next week. The church has in mind helping some other things here in the coming weeks. And so we just want to be prayerful that we'll do the right things. And if we're helping people that needs help, we're doing something right. So keep that in mind, if you would, today in this service. We want to move right on along with our service today. I did want to mention those two things because we haven't had a Sunday night service in a while, and so we'll have that tonight. But we want to be prayerful about Brother Nathan, too. We want to go on with our service. Brother Sam, you want to do our children's church? So, children, he's got it set up over here. So yep. All the young ones, come this way.
Let's go. Don't fall, but come as quick as you can. What a good-looking bunch today. Y'all are dressed really nice. Dressed really nice. Take your time. Hello. How are you? You're five? Yeah. Oh, ow. That was good. Oh, you're good. All right. We've been studying this picture right here that my father took in Mexico, and it's a man plowing with oxen, and they're planting stuff in the field, right? All right. Here comes another one. And so we've studied the ground and the plow and the seed and the pail and the bucket. And today we're going to talk about the boy that's putting the seed in the ground. And so he is the sower in this episode right here. And we tried to apply all these little things in here, these thoughts that we get from this, to biblical teaching. And so the thought that I have from the sower comes from the book of Psalms 126 and 6. And it's a long verse, but I want to put it in here in the front and tell you that it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And what that means is that person that goes forth and has diligence in what he does, and he puts effort into it and sweat, and he works hard at it, that he will have a good harvest. What that also means from a biblical standpoint is that that person that sows precious seed, the word of God, and if he does that diligently, and like we're talking like Brother Hackett here, or we're talking to somebody else, you know, that person will have their reward, okay? And so we notice here that seed is not going to get planted by itself. It has to have help to get into the ground. And so such is the word of God. You know, we have the Bible, but it needs the power of God behind it for it to have its effect. It needs to be planted in the right way. It needs to have that force behind it that is directed by God into the hearts of it. Now, all of y'all have sat under good preaching for a long time. We all have. Sometimes we remember some sermons more. Do y'all remember some sermons more than others? Sometimes we do. It's not the preacher's fault. It's our fault if we don't take it the right way. So we need to make sure that we, you know, are hearing this. And we can only hear it if it's preached. But the preacher must preach the word. The young boy must put that seed in the ground for it to have a harvest. And the preacher must do his best. And the church must do their best. Book of Isaiah. Isaiah was an old prophet. And he said that when the word is preached, it wouldn't return unto him without, you know, effort, without product, you know. He said it would accomplish that I send it. When this young man is putting seed in the ground, he's putting good faith in there that it'll grow up into a crop and he'll have something to eat. When the preacher preaches, he wants to make sure that that word will flourish into the ears and to the hearts and minds of the people that hear it, and that it has a good product for the Lord, okay? So stand up real quick, and I want you don't have to recite this, but listen to the verse. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right? Next week, we're probably going to talk about the animals. Okay? So there'll be a test on today's stuff next week. All right? Everybody agree? All right. That's it. Thank you.
Brother Sam, I see a few heads didn't agree with you. The part about the test is... Yeah, I kind of guessed that too. We're glad to see each and every one here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. Hope you'll make yourselves right at home with us today. Let's be prayerful one for another as we go into this service. We came out of the holiday Thanksgiving. I know Sister Cheryl always asked around her table, she asks each one what they are thankful for. I've heard her say that different times. And I'm not going to ask you to do that today, but I want you to think as you go to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you did this around your table for Thanksgiving this week. But I want to ask you today, what were you thankful for? And as we go to the Lord in prayer today, I want you to maybe just thank the Lord for it, because he is the one that gives us all of these things. So let's keep that first of all in our minds as we go to the Lord in prayer. Does anybody else have another prayer request? I do want to bring up Sister Nettie once again. Of course, she's been going through a lot. And I said it in Sunday school. First, she lost her husband. Then she fell and broke her shoulder. She had surgery. She's been dealing a lot with pain. This past week, her brother-in-law passed away. So let's do remember her and her family in our prayers. Pray that the Lord will help her in these things. It just breaks my heart that she's having to suffer like this. So let's do remember Sister Nettie at this time also. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Let's don't forget to pray for the lost ones that are in our midst today. Maybe they've been in our midst in the past couple of weeks and not here today, but let's pray for them, that word that Brother Sam was talking about, that seed is working inside of them, and it's starting to grow, and that it'll start bringing forth fruit. In other words, causing them to seek out God. That's what we want to pray for. Anybody else have a prayer request on their heart? We'll call on one to start a prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way today. Brother Dean, if you would you please lead us in prayer?
You may be seated. Let's continue our music with number 160. I can almost hear the trumpets. Seemed like the Lord was leading us toward our salvation experience and into heaven today. So I hope you're getting a blessing. Number 160. Amen. Number 234. This will be our last song. Sister Heather's going to sing a special for us today. Number 234, Eyes Have Not Seen. Y'all want to?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank y'all.
Singing, very beautiful song. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning? I'll ask this, how many of you ever, and I'll use this word, dream about that time. Think about that time when you get to go home and how it'll be. I have to confess there's times that I do think about it. And I'm thankful for every moment that I have here on this earth. And I want to stay as long as the Lord allows me to have. But there's a part of me that always longs for that heavenly home. And so let's be prayerful. about these things. There's coming a day when the Lord will say no more, and the last one will get saved. And I think it's our job, our responsibility, to make sure that we try to get as many into the fold of God as we possibly can. We don't save, but we lead them there. That's what we need to do. Anybody got a word on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? Everybody follow the Lord today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. We've went into Thanksgiving, and hopefully we've been truly thankful for everything that God does for us. Whether it's been letting us drive here this morning, or maybe you've had something big this year, maybe a new grandchild, maybe it's been a trouble as far as family is concerned, maybe it's been death in the family, maybe you were one of those that were blessed to be saved this year. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? We're going to kind of get into a thought today, and I want you to be thankful for this. I do not necessarily usually preach about Christmas. This is, I guess we would say, just a little bit early, this as far as preaching about Christmas time and about Christ's birth, but the thought is here today to help everyone believe who Jesus really is. That he was the Son of God. That he was born of a virgin. Now, I came across this fact back several years ago, and it still kind of blows my mind that better than 70% of the men that were graduating from seminaries did not believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That one kind of blew my mind. These men that were supposed to be going into churches and pastoring churches did not believe that Jesus Christ was of a virgin birth. I'm not going to preach on the virgin birth today, but I am going to be touching on that today. And we're going to be thinking about the prophecies, how that Jesus fulfilled many prophecies. And we're going to basically talk about his birth today. And we're going to start a reading lesson in Luke, the second chapter, as you might have guessed. There's a few different places that we could start, but we're going to start with Luke, second chapter today for our reading lesson. You'll hear this a lot over the next few weeks, whether it's in Sunday school. Hopefully you'll see it on television a little bit. There used to be kids' shows, cartoons, if you would, that would depict the birth of Christ. You don't see them as much as you used to. Everybody's tried their best to take Christ out of Christmas time. It's more about gifts, trees, ornaments, lights, and everything else than it is about Jesus. But it ought to be about Jesus. And we're going to try to kick this season off this way. I don't know if it'll continue, but we want you to think about the birth of Christ today and help you to believe that Jesus was born like we tell that he was born. Reading from the second chapter, I'm not going to talk about his birth, but we want to start with verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and back up verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's reading for our reading lesson today. That's verses 8 down through verse 11 for our reading lesson today. Basically, what I'm going to title this message today is going to be about the Annunciation. That's what I'm going to call it anyway, the announcement. I know that every one of us who have had children, there was a time when we found out that we were going to have a child. And basically what I'll say is that, first of all, just knowing that you were going to have a child, that was a precious moment in your life. Now, the next thing that came to mind when you start thinking about having a child is, who am I going to tell first? Most everybody's got somebody that they told first. Whether it was your parents, maybe it was a special friend, maybe it was somebody just random, but usually there's somebody special. But it was an announcement. In these days now, and I think they call them gender reveals, and they basically make a big announcement, because back in my day, we didn't know what she's getting. It was, you didn't find out until that day. That was the way it was. Now they do tests and such, and different ways of finding out what it's going to be first. So now they have gender reveals. They say, it's going to be a boy. I don't know if you saw this other day. In one of the ball games that they had, there was a couple there that wanted the announcers. Boy, they wanted a big-time show is what they did. And they wanted the announcers from the football game to make the announcement so that they could reveal it not only to them, but to everybody in the country. And they passed the note along, and then they all said it together. It's a boy! And everybody started cheering. The couple was happy at the fact that it's going to be a boy and everything. It was a big celebration, right? Most of the time, the big celebration is really at the birth. We get to enjoy the birth, and it's so wonderful when you see that child come into this world, right? You think about Mary. The announcement of Jesus came to her first. She didn't have to wait for tests. She didn't have to wait till it was time for to be born. She knew who it was, what he was, and what he's going to be before that little rascal was even born. Pardon the phrase there. But the idea was, Mary knew who Jesus was going to be. The angel of the Lord came. And we basically take this reading lesson that I talked to you about, read to you this morning. That was the announcement that Jesus was being born. My friends, that wasn't the announcement, was it, time? It went back further than that. The angel of the Lord came to Mary, and he told her that she was a blessed lady, that she was going to have the Son of God in her womb. And that Son of God was going to die for our sins. I don't know about you, it doesn't really tell us that, but I think Mary knew from the beginning just about everything that Jesus was going to do. I think she knew that he was going to give his life for them. I think that was an understanding that God gave her. And that was a great big burden that she had for her in her life. But the fact of the matter is, the angel Gabriel told her, you're going to have a child, and the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and you shall have that child. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute, but I want to move up just a little bit more, and I want you to hear another announcement that was made. You remember that John the Baptist, as the Bible tells it, he and Jesus were cousins, and that when that Mary came to where Elizabeth was, the mother of John, the scripture says that when she spoke, the child leaped in her womb. And the Holy Ghost came upon her, and the Spirit came upon her, and she started to praise God in that day that the mother of her Lord should be before her. Now, that was an announcement right there. You think about that today. A woman that had not been around this young girl, and she was just in hearing the voice of this young lady, the Lord revealed to her what was inside of her. Now, take that up just a little bit. If you'll remember that Zacharias, Elizabeth's husband, had been told by the angel of the Lord that his son was going to be the forerunner for him. And he said, Lord, how shall these things be? Well, the Lord stopped his mouth, didn't he? He couldn't speak until that he did what he had to do, and that was to name him John. And when that he named him John, the Lord opened his mouth, is what the scripture said, and he started to speak. And you'll find this in the first chapter of the book of Luke in verse 27. And he says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And remember, redeemed means he is paying the ransom for his people, is what he's doing. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You see, all throughout the prophecies, and we're going to get to this a little bit more here in a minute, there was a certain lineage that it was going to come from. This son of God was going to come through one family, and it was of the house of David, who was of the house of Abraham, being of the family, in other words. But he says he's going to raise up a horn of salvation. And what that word horn there, it means the power of salvation. It was the strength that was coming before them. Now, in this verse, he is quoting out of Psalms 132 and the 17th verse. I'm not going there today, but you can go back and look at it later. It was a prophecy that King David had made about this son of God, this child that was coming. And Zacharias is telling them, he is raising up today a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since and the world began, and that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Now, much of the world today thinks that that verse right there is speaking about all of our earthly enemies. Yes, we do have earthly enemies in this world. But the fact of this matter here is the greatest enemy to mankind is Satan himself. And Satan himself is fighting against all of God's people. Actually, he's fighting against every human being that's in this world. He wants to devour them, is the way that Peter put it. He wants to devour them. He wants to eat them up. He wants to drag them down into his place of abode, which is hell itself. Now, let me say something rather quickly. The world today thinks that hell is going to be a place of partying, a place of things that will be good in many ways, like they live here in this world. But hell is going to be a place of torments, is what it's going to be. Now, going back to the thought that this horn of salvation is coming, it is a prophecy that is showing that God is sending his son Jesus into this world to save sinners. Do you know what salvation, the word saved, actually means in the Word of God? It means safe. Safe. You remember, when that you were saved, you will remember that that you felt safe in the arms of God. There's many a time, I'd say, that we as kids, when we were growing up, some of the children, maybe even now, when a bad dream has come upon them and they have screamed out in the middle of the night and mother or father have come to them and embraced them, it brought a safe feeling to them. But in this predicament that we are in, God makes us safe, not in the arms of any man here upon this earth, but on the arms of God himself. Now let's go back to the prophecies, and many of these you've heard from time to time. But the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah in the 7th chapter, and we're starting out looking at this child and who his mother was. In the 14th verse, he says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. I thought his name was Jesus. Emmanuel means God with us. Now, when the angel of the Lord came and he told Mary that she would name him Jesus, it was to mean God with us, is what it was intended for it to mean. And in this name, we find the fact that he was in this scripture that Mary was a virgin. Her words were in the first chapter, when the angel of the Lord came to her and the angel announced to her that she would have this child. What did she say? "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, the idea is she never been with a man. She had no intentions of being with a man until she was married, and that time was not yet. But the angel said, "But the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and thou shalt bring forth a child." The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if you would, and God Almighty overshadowed her and put that seed within her that she would bear this child. And so the scripture tells us that it would be something precious, that it was of God. It was miraculous, if you want to use that term. Well, there's different miraculous births in the Bible, right? You've got Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was 90 years old when she had her son Isaac. What about some of the other? Elizabeth was well past age of childbearing, and she had John the Baptist, and there was others throughout the scriptures. But no one was like Mary, where no man was involved in this. It came from God. Now, moving right along, the other scripture that prophesied about the birth of Jesus, and it says in chapter 9, just turn over just a little bit, of Isaiah, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Well, there's a lot of titles right there, but I want you to notice it says a child will be born. We know that child today by the name of Jesus our Lord, is the way we talk about him. But I want you to also notice it says the government will be upon his shoulders. Many times today when we talk about government, we talk about our county government, our state government, our national governments, whether it's this nation or somewhere else. But the idea that we want you to understand, the government here was the ways and the of God to be brought out, and it was put upon Jesus to institute his church into this world. And he wanted that government to stand in this world. And it shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wait a minute here. I thought his name was Jesus. The prophecy here says Wonderful. Well, if you'll notice, it says a few more words. It says Counselor, and the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. If you look at these titles, all of them describes Jesus while he was here on this earth. Even if you go back to the announcement that the angel said, he said, behold, a child is born in the town of Bethlehem, is the way that it put it. Let me go back over and read it just exactly right. And he said, for unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, is the way it says it. But also he says, he shall be a counselor. Now, a lot of times in our day, we call a counselor a lawyer. It wasn't for him to be a lawyer in that way, but he is our mediator between God and man. And thus he does counsel between God and us, is the way he does it. But notice it also says he is the Mighty God. That's something that a lot of people miss out on today. They say, yeah, he's the Son of God, but he's not God. Actually, if you look, he is God. He was God in the flesh while he was here on this earth. Jesus said of himself, he said, the Father and I are one. That means the same. And being the same, he is with God and is God and shall always be God. But the last phrase is, he says he is the Prince of Peace. Now, when you look at that phrase right there, the Prince of Peace, you might say, well, yeah, he is to bring peace upon the earth. Many people today are looking for peace here on this earth. They're looking for somebody that will, basically, I'm going to use this term, negotiate between that party over there and this party over here, and they'll bring them together in peace. If you want to say Russia and us or China and us, they're looking for somebody to bring peace that way. But there'll be no peace in this world. There'll always be conflicts. There'll always be troubles and trials in this world. So how in is the Lord the Prince of Peace? He is the author of our salvation, is what the scripture says. And the salvation that we have is peace with God. And because of that, he is, I'm going to say it this way, the distributor of peace in the lost and dying world. He distributes to those that he deems, that he puts in place there, the salvation in their hearts, the ones that truly trust and believe in his salvation. These things are things that God has laid out. I've got one other one that I want to try to bring out to you today, and it's found in the book of Micah, and you've heard these before. In the book of Micah, in the 5th chapter. Now, a lot of people would say, why did Jesus be born in Bethlehem? A lot of people say, well, and I want you to take notice of this. When the kings came looking for Jesus, they were following the star. Where did they go first to look for him? Have you noticed that? They went to the king's palace. Well, they was looking for an earthly king in a sense. And they said, we'll go there and we'll search for him. Yeah, they was following the star. But they had gotten to a place where that they had gotten turned around. And they were not in the right place. Sounds like a lot of sinners today. They're looking for the king, but they're not looking in the right places. They're not searching out in the right places. My friends, today, what they were told when Herod was asked the question, we're looking for the King of Kings. In his own mind, he probably thought, I'm the King of Kings here, other than Caesar. But they said, no, we're looking for the true King of all kingdoms, is basically what they were doing. And when he had no answer for them, he called the elders of the church of the synagogue in, and they said, "Where is this king? Where should he be born?" And they quoted to him the fifth chapter of Micah in the second verse. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." Notice he says he's coming out of Bethlehem. Now you might say, well, why Bethlehem? Well, that was the city of David. That was David's lineage, is where it was. That was where his family came from. No doubt that was likely where Joseph may have been from also. And when it came time for taxation, it was the responsibility of the Roman people to make sure that everybody got back to their own homeland. So Joseph taking Mary that several almost 100 miles from Nazareth down there for him to be there at the proper time. I want you to notice this today. It's at the proper time. They went into Bethlehem, and we're not going to get into all the story other than the fact that there was a child born that day. And that child was precious. And I'm going to tell you something. Every one of you can think about this. But especially when you experience the firstborn of your family being born, oh, that's precious. Every one of them is precious. Don't get me wrong. Heather's here, I'd be in trouble, right? But when you experience that child being born, it's precious. But this child being born here, it was not only precious in his father's eyes, in his mama's eyes, and I'm not speaking about Joseph here, I'm talking about the Heavenly Father. It was precious to every man, woman, and child in this world. If you go back to our reading lesson, it said unto the shepherds, he said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." The greatest news that was ever announced is the Savior is here.
Amen.
They didn't get to see the effects of it for another 30 years, I guess you could say, in many ways. But the most precious announcement that ever was is the Son of God is here. And it's unto every single one of us today. It's an announcement that was made out. It fulfilled all of the prophecies. The fact that he came from the lineage of David, that he was that horn, that power that came into this world. Oh, how wonderful it was in everyone's eyes that saw him and heard him. Do you remember the rest of the story about the shepherds? They said, let us go and see what this is that we've been told by these angels. I'm paraphrasing that. But when they got there, they saw the child. They saw Mary and Joseph. They saw this. But what did they do? They published it all throughout the land. Now, what I want you to do today as children of God, publish this. Tell the world about the best child, the best announcement that's ever been made. Like I said, think about better than 70% of ministers coming out of seminary saying they don't know that there was a virgin birth or not. Do you know that it's true? I do. I believe it is true. You may be thinking, I don't know about that. You better check your soul. You better check your soul if you're doubting it. Because that child that we read about here today, that is your salvation. And all he asked was simple faith. Do you believe it? You know what? Those shepherds, they believed it. Oh, yeah, they saw angels. But they saw that child. And they went back believing what they saw. And when they believed it with all of their heart, you know what they did? They announced it. Now, this is going to be another encouragement to you. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you know what? That's a birth. If your wife, your grandchild, or a child or grandchild come up, and they was expecting, you know what you do? I'll tell you what I did when I found out we was going to have grandkids. I went into work, and I was telling different ones about it. And I said, I'm going to get to be a grandpa. You know what you'll do if you truly gotten saved? You'll tell somebody. You'll tell somebody about your new birth. That's what you should do. Tell everybody you can. Brother Keith, that's going to be our message today. I ask you today, do you really believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do you really believe that he was born in Bethlehem? Do you really believe that he was of the house and lineage of David, like the Bible says? Oh, that's just a start of it, truthfully. But it's a wonderful thing to believe because it'll bring you peace. When you really believe it. While we stand and sing.
Number 256.